Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got through the field. He's got through. 35-30.
Get the punt.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks here with John Schmelk, and we are back from Indianapolis. The combine ended on Monday. Of course, you flew back Monday. You guys were kind of stuck there because of the weather.
It happens.
You poor thing. So while you were there, though, I mean, more coverage in regard to, of course, the defensive linemen, the linebackers, and then, of course, the DBs went on Monday. So you got a fill of the defensive side of the ball, which, of course, the offensive side of the ball showcased their talents a little bit earlier on in the week.
Yeah, Nina, and I think the combine kind of went the way a lot of people thought it was going to go. This was considered going in to be a very, very deep class on the defensive line. It was considered to be the strength of the draft this year. And I think once all those guys ran and did their thing on Sunday, I think it was confirmed that this is, in fact, a very, very deep draft in the defensive line. And, you know, people make a big deal about the 40 times, and that's great. But, you know, the shuttle times, the bench press, all those things are, in my opinion, more important, and just where they weigh in is more important than the 40 for a defensive lineman. So I do think it's a very deep class. I think throughout the first round you can get day one starters. I think even heading into early second round, I think it is the strength of the draft. I think wide receiver is pretty deep, not as top heavy with as many stars as last year, I don't think, but you can get a good wide receiver in the second round if you want one. The running backs were actually a little disappointing the way they ran and worked out in the drills. It was considered to be one of the better running back classes in a while, but I don't think the guys really lived up to some of the standards that had been set before they got to Indianapolis. So I think those guys took a little bit of a hit. So if you're looking for a running back in the draft, maybe you can wait that extra round now based on how these guys did at the combine. So I think it was a fun weekend. I think you'll learn a little bit more about all these guys. It was great to see Mariota and Winston both throw. Not a lot of guys skipped workouts just because they felt like it. Some guys in the midst due to injury, that happens. But it's always good to see everybody go out there and compete. And that's what the coaches want to see. The last thing coaches want to see is these guys be, quote-unquote, afraid to go out there and show their stuff.
Yeah, I mean, one of the biggest topics coming out of the draft is the fact that because both Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota threw, that will kind of set a precedent.
I hope so.
For other quarterbacks who do come in who are reluctant to throw because, for whatever reason, they're throwing to wide receivers, they've never played with before, they want to wait for their pro day where they pretty much have a skit lined out and they feel that they're going to put on their best show. So, but I want to remind you, phone lines are open. 201-939-4513 is the phone number to get in. 201-939-4513. We'll be taking calls with you for the next hour. Also, we'll be monitoring Twitter. And if you've got a question or a comment, hashtag Giants Chat as always. So, I mean, let's kick it off first and foremost in regard to the Giants' needs. And we do want to hear from you as well. One of our show questions today is, who impressed you the most in regard to the combine? And what would be the one player that you would really like to see the Giants go out and grab with that number 9 pick?
And don't say Leonard Williams. He's not going to be there. That's cheating.
Some people feel he was so impressive, like comparing him to J.J. Watt-like numbers and stats and whatnot from the combine that a few people out there feel that don't be surprised if maybe he goes second to the Tennessee Titans or somebody trades up with the Tennessee Titans for that number 2 pick to get him.
I mean, he's widely considered the safest, most NFL pro-ready prospect in the draft. Obviously, quarterback needs sometimes trump that, Anita.
Right.
But if you take that out of it, the guy with the quote-unquote highest overall grade simply based on performance is going to be Leonard Williams, and he will be gone in the first 3 picks.
So we want to hear from you. 201-939-4513. Let's talk about, and we know Jerry Reese, he goes with best player on the board, but we still need to talk about the needs that the Giants have. Obviously, we're not surprising anyone here in regard to their needs on the offensive line. The safety position, that as well. Linebackers, as well as a running back. And Jerry Reese addressed the media while he was in Indianapolis and said...
Didn't say a ton, by the way.
No, he didn't say a lot. But one thing that I think reporters did walk away with, and that is in regard to a running back. You know what you get with Rashad Jennings, as well as a 1-2 punch with Andre Williams. But without David Wilson, no longer in the NFL, that kind of change of pace back, that's going to give those type of skills, that skill set to add to that backfield. backfield is really important. And that's something that maybe this team can address in free agency, or something that they could look at in later rounds in the draft.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Rashad Jennings does a good job as the third down back in terms of catching the ball and in terms of pass protecting. But he doesn't have that big play explosive ability like you had with David Wilson, absolutely. So I think if you can find on day three of this draft, or maybe in the third round, if you want to go that high, a guy that can be that explosive running back and maybe also do some kickoff return, maybe do some punt return, I think that would certainly be an option. I think the other thing that Jerry said on Saturday that was interesting is that you can't depend on Victor Cruz to come back right away and be himself. You can't, to quote him, put all your eggs in that basket. So I think that wide receiver is a place the Giants look to add some depth. I don't think it's another situation where you're going to use consecutive first-round picks and two drafts in a row on a wide receiver. I don't see that. Would I rule it out? No. If by far the best player on the board is a wideout in the first round, would the Giants take him? Yeah, I think they might. But you've already given Victor Cruz a lot of money. You used a first-round pick on Beckham. You used a second-round pick on Reuben Randall. If you use another first-round pick on a wide receiver, that's a lot of your resources going towards one position. So I'd be a little bit surprised about that, but I think you hit it on the head off the top, Anita. Offensive line is one, and I think defensive line is the other. You listen to Tom Coughlin, Jerry Reese, and John Mara in their postseason press conferences. You were there for them. They talked about two things: stopping the run, running the football. And you do that by winning up front. And when you look at the Giants' losses this year, Anita, I think it hits it right on the head, because they lost games this year because they couldn't win the battle up front, whether it was protecting Eli in some games, running the football in most games, or stopping the run. Remember that game against Seattle when Seattle went for 300-plus rushing yards? I think that's where this team needs to get better and, frankly, put together a more consistent pass rush. We saw it good for games at a time, but where was it during the 6-7-game losing streak middle of the season? So, and you're right, safety too. You don't have any veterans on this roster that are signed. So 100%, those are all needs they'll have to address somewhere.
We're going to get to your calls in just a hot second, but a point to be made here, and again, this is another thing that Jerry Reese had communicated to the media, and that is when you're picking top 10, okay, you need to get a player who is immediately going to come in and make an impact on the team.
Yeah.
And in looking at a number of the offensive linemen, you know, you've got some offensive linemen there that really are more suited for guard. Do you draft a guard at number 9? Oh, that's kind of tough.
I think if he's dominant, why not?
Flowers, from what everything that I heard from a number of the scouts out there, is that he's a project, that he very well can end up being a phenomenal lineman, but it's going to exactly. Yes. It's going to be a project. Mm-hmm. So even though, yes, the biggest need for this Giants organization is the offensive line, but the offensive linemen that are being presented is that's got to be a hard thing to juggle there. So based on everyone that you met with, everyone that we spoke to while we were out in Indianapolis, what you saw in regard to the combine, what do you feel would be a home run number 9 pick for the Giants?
I got two guys that I think would be home run number 9 picks. And now I'm not sure either guy's going to be there. In fact, I'm pretty sure one isn't. But I think there's a shot, so I'm going to stick with it for now. Here are my two home run number 9 picks for the Giants. One is Brandon Scherff, the guard/tackle out of Iowa. He can play both positions. I think he's quick enough to play right tackle if you want to put him out there. Or if you prefer to move Justin Pugh and leave him at tackle, you can bring Scherff in there at guard. And I think he can have a Zach Martin-type impact in year number one. Maybe not first-team All-Pro. Let's not put that type of pressure on
him. I was just going to say, it's a big comparison.
It's a big comparison. And frankly, I get a little annoyed when people make that comparison. But I think, and here's why I like Scherff so much. He's polished. He's powerful. He's a blue-collar guy. He's got a nasty streak. It's all the type of things you want out of an offensive lineman to help set the tone. So that's number one. Not sure he's going to be there because he's going to be the first offensive lineman off the board. My second home run pick, and I think if I had to make the pick today and both those guys were on the board, I'd pick this guy, and that's Dante Fowler out of Florida. He's one of the true 4-3 defensive ends in the draft. Athletically, he's off the charts. They move him around a lot at Florida. But I think he'll find a home at 4-3 defensive end in the pros. I think him and JPP could be a tandem at end for a long time, similar to OC and Strahan. I think he would be an excellent pick. Better chance Scherff is there to me than Fowler. I think Fowler right now is a top 5 pick in this draft. But to me, those would be my two home run picks for the Giants at 9.
All right, let's hear from some of our Big Blue fans who tune into Big Blue Kickoff Live. Again, Anita Marks, John Schmelk, and you, 201-939-4513. Let's go to start off with line 4, Frankie calling in for Virginia Beach. Frankie, welcome to the show.
Hey, Frank.
Hey, how's it going? Just great to hear you guys commenting. I just had a quick question. And this guy is projected to be a later round offensive line pick, Robert Myers from Tennessee State. They call him Quadzilla. He's projected to be a fourth or fifth rounder. And I know that's later rounds, but and I know I like Schreff too. But I think Schreff is hurt, isn't he? He has some hamstring issues.
Well, yeah, you know what?
In the 40, right?
Yeah, he tweaked his hamstring. But for an offensive lineman, a tweaked hamstring in February, that's not going to make me drop him on my board at all. I wouldn't worry about that.
Okay. Well, any chance, I mean, of course, I see offensive line as like a dire need for us. Not even just, you know, I know we go best player on the board. But any chance, you know, we look at Rob Myers, Tennessee State? He's kind of raw, I guess.
Frankie, they'll look at everybody, and Anita, you can speak to this. I have a little star next to him on my sheet.
He does.
So I do think he's a guy. I think he matches my profile for the type of offensive lineman I think the Giants could use. Again, that nasty blue-collar, road-grader type of guy. Now, he's a guard. He's not a tackle. So keep that in mind. He's not going to go out there and play tackle. He's a guard. And if you want to go there in the middle rounds, I think he's a guy you could develop. And again, you mentioned Tennessee State. He's coming from a smaller school. I think he needs to get stronger. He'll need to develop a little bit. But he's a guy that I do think fits the profile for the Giants in the middle rounds.
Okay. And it was surprising to kind of mention that we may need another running back. Yeah, of course, we did lose a lot when David Wilson had to retire. Who would we be looking at? I mean, I know Todd Gurley's a good player. He, you know, I don't know who we'd be looking at if we pick a running back in the later first round or second round or whatever.
John,
who would be looking at
Frankie?
That?
Frankie, thank you for the phone call.
Thank you, Frank.
Really quick, I just want to throw out some free agent names that are out there.
These are running backs.
Running backs:
yep.
Reggie Bush, C.J. Spiller.
Now,
have the Lions officially
cut bait with Reggie Bush? Has that happened
for sure? That I don't know. These are some of the running backs that are.
There's a good chance Bush is going to be out.
Yes,
I agree, 100%.
Yes, yes. Your thoughts on those three guys?
Bush and
Bush, C.J. Spiller, and Shane Vereen.
You know what? And that's funny. I talked about those guys a couple weeks ago, actually, Anita, and I think all three of those guys are the type of player you're looking at. I think Vereen and Jennings, to some extent, are a little bit interchangeable because I don't see Vereen as an explosive guy. He's a great receiver, and I think Jennings can fill that role. But I think Spiller is the type of player you're looking for that can make a big play every time he touches it. Spiller has helped on special teams returns before. I think C.J. Spiller is going to cost too much money, though. I think he's going to get a big contract somewhere because of that athletic ability.
But he has not been able to stay healthy.
And neither is Reggie Bush, the other guy. And I think that's really the factor with those two, whether or not – and Bush is older at this point than C.J. Spiller – whether or not you trust him to stay healthy. Or maybe in the more limited role they would play with the Giants – splitting time with Jennings and Williams, will that help them stay healthy?
Right.
So I think that's something else you have to
keep in mind. C.J. Spiller shared a lot of time with Fred Jackson
as
well.
That's a good point, too. No question.
But nonetheless, you know, it will be interesting to see what happens. March 10th is when free agency begins. And so I think Giants fans as well as a number of media will have a better idea because – and this is another topic that was discussed at length in Indianapolis. You know, it's great to be a team, an organization that heads into the draft with not a lot of glaring needs. For example, right now the glaring need is at offensive line. Well, let's see what Jerry and this organization does in free agency. Same with the safety position. We're talking about the running back position. It's great for a team, any organization, to go into a draft without a glaring sore thumb need, and then you really have the ability to take the best player on the board.
The last thing you want to be is backed into a corner on draft day where you have to pick somebody at a certain spot because that's when you run into reaching for players and you get into trouble.
Right.
So 100% right, and until we know what happens in free agency, it's going to be impossible to predict what the Giants do in the draft. And very quickly, he asked about some of the guys in the draft
running backs.
Could be that type of, you know, running back that could help the Giants. You mentioned Todd Gurley. To me, if Gurley's healthy, he's the top running back in the draft. I like him better than I like Gordon.
His pro day, by the way.
And I'm not sure how much Gurley's going to do at his pro day either. It'll probably just be mostly a medical check, I would imagine.
March 18th is Gurley's pro day, one of the most highly anticipated because keep in mind he did not, and on the advice of Dr. Andrews,
yeah,
did not take a physical when he was in Indianapolis. That was a big deal. So his pro day on March 18th is going to be a pretty big deal.
Well, what happens in these medical examinations at the combine, and I forget which player it was, but it happened to one of the players. You know, if you have an injured ankle or a knee, they'll take it and they'll jerk it around left and right to check the stability. And if you're coming off a ACL, do you want some guy that doesn't know your knee jerking your knee around?
Certainly not.
So you want to let it heal a little bit more. One player actually had his ankle re-injured because in the medical test, they tweaked his ankle and they were trying to test its stability. And then he couldn't run some of the runs and the shuttles and things like that. So, you know, I think Gurley, if he's healthy, he's the top running back in the draft.
Do you think he goes in the first round?
I think very early second. Okay. That would be my guess. And I think Gordon will be the first one off the board because of Gurley's knee. But I think if all things are equal, Gurley's the better player. In terms of type of guys that we talked about, Anita, that are the scat backs that can kind of fit you, Amir Abdullah, I think, is a guy. He's 5'8", 198. He can catch. He's low to the ground. He's very quick. And Duke Johnson out of Miami, 5'9", 206.
I like him.
He's very, very fast. Oh, you like a Florida guy. That's shocking.
Imagine that. From the U, baby.
He's very, very fast. And I don't think he's a full-time back in the pros. I don't think he can take that type of pounding. But in a role where he's splitting carries and can be that explosive guy, I think it makes sense.
Again, 201-939-4513. Anita Marks, John Schmelk, and you, Big Blue Kickoff Live, coming to you live from the Giants facility. Let's go to line one. We have Dre calling in from Atlanta. Dre, welcome in.
What's up, Dre?
Hey, what's going on, Big John? How you doing,
Anita? All right.
I watched every coverage. I even took down some names, went back and looked at some tape. I would like the linebacker. I like the one that Reese called the Swiss Army knife. The one that pretty much could play safety, linebacker, and running back.
Vic Beasley?
You know.
No, you're talking about Shaq Thompson, I think. Shaq Thompson or Beasley?
Beasley.
All right, because Shaq Thompson's the one that worked out at safety and running back. Beasley is the one that had all the record combine numbers and absolutely went ballistic.
Just was incredible. Right. He could play defensive line and linebacker. That's what they're saying.
Right. Well, I think he'll be a good at number nine. It pretty much lets the fans know that we're focusing on linebacker also, because the defensive line is kind of thick. There wasn't one player that actually performed at the combine that I didn't think would not be there in the second round. It's deep. Everyone has attributes and size, and you know, speed within the first 10 yards.
That's
you
what
know,
it is.
Quick
yep.
hands. You know, those are all the things I was looking at. I didn't see any running backs really that I would like for to play that third down role. Who knows? Maybe we can get CJ2K to come in on a limited basis on a 1-year contract to be our third down back. And go crazy.
He is DUN, my friend. Done. there's a reason he couldn't get on the field in front of Chris Ivory with the Jets last year.
Right. Well, I mean, he's going to be in a more backup role, but in reference to
and he wants to start. By line,
the way. I'm sure it's a short bet, but you know who? Hey, you know, it's a pipe dream. But we need some speed back there. We can't take a third down back just because.
Oh, of course not.
But I was at least comparable to the same talents that David Wilson had. You know. Injury is a factor. You know, if you can't stay on the field, we don't need you. It makes no sense to sit there and continually spend money on players that can't stay on the field.
Well, Dre, I want to say one thing very quickly about Vic Beasley because you brought him off the top of your call. Yes, he's a great athlete, but I think his true position is as a 3-4 outside linebacking pass rusher. I'm not sure he's big enough to be an every down 4-3 defensive end. And I don't want to run into the trouble here where you're picking a guy in 9, and since you're in the 4-3, you end up getting a guy that can just be a specialized pass rusher. I want to make sure at 9 I'm getting a complete player that can play all 3 downs. And while Beasley's a great athlete, and I think he'll be a very good NFL player, I think his best fit is in a 3-4 defense, not necessarily in a 4-3.
I understand, but one thing before I go, one thing that really hurt me watching the combine on the defense, no hands. It was very limited hands. A lot of drop passes.
That's
I don't
right.
care if it's nerves. This is your time to shine. Catch the ball. We need interceptions. Not dropping passes. Simple balls. They're not even, you don't even have an offensive player trying to knock the ball down for me and you're dropping passes. But that's enough. I'm off my soapbox.
Your soapbox? Okay.
Thank you, Dre.
Dre, thank you so
Appreciate
much. Question for you in regard to John Beeson. Of course, the Giants. The cap is expected to be at 145. So as of right now, the Giants can play around. I want to say 22.6 is the room that they'll have. Obviously,
based on what they have online, obviously.
Obviously, that will decrease if they do tag JPP, which a number of people expect them to do. But
and then a lot of that money too gets allocated to the incoming draft class, so you could take another $4 or $5 million off that list.
Right.
So
But you know, players out there, question marks in regard to whether or not they'll be back. Kiwi, Walton, and Beason. Your thoughts on Beason?
Look, I'll answer this the same way Jerry Reese answered this at the Combine. Right now he's under contract, and I think the Giants do hope that he'll be back next year and be able to play and be healthy. But if I'm the Giants, I have to prepare just in case he's not. I mean, this is a guy that's been perpetually hurt, Anita. I'm not telling anything you don't already know.
Right.
He basically, his 1 year with the Giants, now 2 seasons ago, was his only year in the last 4 or 5 where he played significant time. So I don't think you can depend on him to play 16 games. So if you bring him back and he's here next year, and again, he's under contract, no reason to think he's not, I think you have to have a backup plan in place of somebody that you can say, all right, if this guy's the starter, he's good enough to be a productive, every-down NFL starter, and we're happy to run with him for the season. Whether that's in free agency or the draft, you find that guy, that's another question. I think you can go both directions. I don't think there's a ton of middle linebackers out there in this draft, but I think you do have to have a backup plan in place for John Beason.
201-939-4513. We'll continue with our calls. We go to line 3. Steve's calling in from D.C. Steve, welcome.
Steven.
Hey, what's happening, Anita? Paul. I mean, excuse me, John. Thanks for taking
now,
my call.
Now I'm Paul. I'm usually Lance. Now I'm Paul. Come on.
I'm sorry.
That's all right, buddy. I'm just playing with you.
I'm sitting here shaking like a junkie waiting on a fix, man. I miss you guys.
It's good to hear from you, Steve. Long time no speak.
So, listen, I wanted to make a couple quick comments, and then I wanted to engage you guys in a couple quick questions, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
First of all, and I also wanted to let you know I'm having problems with the mobile app. Maybe you guys can take a look at that.
No, you know what, Steve? You make a good point. And right now, the mobile app, we know it's down. It's not on our end. It's on the end of the app. So we are working on getting that fixed. You are aware that right now it's not working. So if you're listening to us, you're listening to us online. I appreciate the heads up.
I won't use up too much time. But listen, first thing I want to say is, as far as the offense is concerned, I'm one of those people who think that unfortunately we either got to go later round or we got to pick up either a right tackle or a right guard somewhere on offense. And I really don't want to get too deep in that, because I don't think the offense is close to the biggest issue as there is the defense. And I know I'd like to see us get a later round running back somewhere. I don't care, or even make some sort of trade. But the main thing I wanted to talk about today, guys, is number one, I've been engaged in a little bit of back and forth on Twitter, and I want to talk about the linebackers, because that's what I went into looking for in the offseason. Quite frankly, I don't see it at 1 or 2, given our needs and given what's in the draft. So I want to get you guys' take as to where you think we will get a middle linebacker. Do you see, obviously, not at number 1 or number 2, even, and I definitely like Beasley, but because he's not just, sticking to one position, or I don't want a hybrid guy, and I definitely want a game changer, not just the person to contribute, but at top 10, I want a game changer. So can you talk to me a little bit about where you guys see us getting a linebacker?
I don't think I'm with you. I don't think there's a linebacker there at 9 that would fit the Giants' needs. I think there could be a guy there in the second round. I think Denzel Perryman is a guy that can be a pretty solid first and second down run stopper for you, which is something the Giants need based on their struggles last year, Anita. And I think in free agency, that we'll see who gets cut loose. There might be a couple of veterans you can bring in. But, Steven, and this is an issue I brought up on the shows last week. I'm not sure if you had a chance to tune in. Anita, we talked about this on the shows too. They just aren't that many 4-3 middle linebackers coming out of college anymore, because it's not the type of defense that a lot of these college programs play because of the spread. Mm-hmm. And it really is making that position a much thinner one at the pro level, Steve.
Yeah, well, let me ask you this. There's Spikes that's out there, and there's Rolando McClain, who supposedly may be under 4-game suspension. But given the fact that I'm not sure Beasley can play 4 games, I'm willing to take a chance on him at the right amount. How do you feel about him, guys?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's funny. I bet you the Cowboys actually were happy that McClain might get suspended for 4 games next year, because that means another team is far less likely to come after him with a big, big contract. So they're probably going to be able to bring him back on the cheap. And frankly, I'd be worried about it now. I mean, do you want to run into another? And remember this too. And they changed the threshold for testing positive for a lot of these drugs last year. So if you're testing positive now, that probably means you have like a significant issue here. But it's not these trace amounts that are going to pop the test anymore.
You asked about Beason. One thing, and I totally understand how Giants fans, you see the performance on Sunday. You don't necessarily are here at the facility and covering the team like John or myself or Roman Oben or Datino are. And the one thing that I really value about Beason is his leadership in that locker room, John.
Yes.
Him and Antrell Roll. And there's some question marks in regards to if Antrell Roll is going to be back next year. So if this team, if this defense, let alone, I'm going to go beyond defense. I'm going to go team as a whole. Does not have Antrell Roll or Beason in that locker room. That's a concern for me, just because of the leadership.
We need a veteran.
The leadership that they bring is there's a price tag on that. Don't you agree?
I agree. And look, Steve, and I agree with you. And I don't think that's why you can have a young guy do it. I think you do need a veteran that can either. I think you need one in the front seven, and you need one in the secondary to lead both those sides of the defense.
Yeah, well, I'm going to make a quick prediction, and I'll get off this phone, guys. But yeah, but I do agree with you. I think we need a veteran. That's why I kind of see us hopefully going after, a McClain or a Spikes. But I think we're going to end up going Dupree, the boring pick, at number one. And if I was up to me, we would be able to go either Landon Collins or, God forbid, Kevin White. And I'm still stuck on maybe Amari Cooper. So anyway, I appreciate you guys taking my call, and I can't wait to see what we do. But I do have faith in Reese. And I'm thinking, just one or two pieces away. So
thanks,
I'm looking
Steve.
Forward to next year. Thanks for taking my call.
Steve, appreciate thank it. You for the call. Again, John Schmoke, Anita Marks, and you, 201-939-4513. Also, we're monitoring Twitter. Make sure if you've got a question or a comment, hashtag Giants Chat. Now, pretty interesting. Steve said Cooper, possibly Kevin White at that number nine pick. But here's somebody on Twitter, Mr. Ruiz, 81. Picking a wide receiver in the first round two consecutive years is just plain dumb. Hashtag Giants Chat. But this is something that we touched on. There is no track record. There is no history of how well a wide receiver does coming off of a patella tendon tear in the NFL. We can sit here and we can assume and hope and wish and pray that Victor Cruz is going to be the vintage Victor Cruz that we've come to know and love and what he brings to this offense, but there's no guarantee in that. So keep that in mind. We know what we get with Odell Beckham Jr., Rookie of the Year. He's just really, he was the silver lining in this very dark cloud that was here at MetLife Stadium this season. And then there's some question marks about Reuben Randle. Of course, Jerry Reese again spoke to the media while he was out in Indianapolis and said that he felt that Reuben Randle got picked on a little bit too much, manhandled a little bit too much. He's hoping with the surge of Odell Beckham Jr. and the respect that he's gotten this season, heading into 2015, more defenses will concentrate on Odell, will open things up for Reuben Randle. But let's face it, there's still a question mark there with Reuben Randle.
Sure.
In regards, so I'm sure that there are a lot of Giants fans out there that are like, what, another wide receiver? Well, there's no guarantee in regard to Reuben Randle, and will he take that next step heading into 2015? And there's no guarantee with Victor Cruz in regard to how his knee's going to respond. Based on what I saw and in talking to the offensive coordinators and the wide receiving coaches and the scouts that were in Indianapolis that watched the wide receivers perform, I would not have a problem with Kevin White at nine.
Who do you like better, White or
White?
Really?
I do.
You like him more than Cooper?
I do. I like his skill set. I like what he brings to the table.
He is a better athlete.
Yes.
I think he's a better athlete than Cooper, but I think Cooper's the better wide receiver, and I think he's more pro-ready. I think White will have a little bit of a learning curve coming out of West Virginia.
Let me ask you this.
Sure.
Who do you think – because a lot of people are anticipating the Oakland Raiders. Of course, they went out. They got Derek Carr last year.
And I think they will pick a wide.
They need a wide receiver to complement that passing attack. Do you think, based on the performance of White, do you think that who do you think Oakland goes with? Do you think they go White or do you think they go Cooper?
Well, I could tell you if Al Davis was still with us, they'd take Kevin White.
Okay,
because he ran the fastest 40 time at the combine, because that's what the Raiders did while he was the owner of the Raiders. That's a good question. If you go by the Raiders' history of drafting, the speed guys and the athletes, I would probably say Kevin White, but. Again, if I were Oakland, I would take Amari Cooper. I think he's a better fit with Derek Carr. I think he is a guy. And if you look at Cooper's other runs, while his 40 time, by the way, 4.42 is still pretty darn fast. There's nothing wrong with a 4.42 40. He was the top 20-yard shuttle time and the top 3-cone drill time. And that's change of direction, coming in and out of breaks. So he was one of the best in the combine at that, which I think is pretty important for a wide receiver too. So I would go Cooper if I had to. If you made me guess right now where I think the Raiders would go with that pick at wide receiver, Just based on their history, I would guess Kevin White, but I don't know anything.
Again, 201-939-4513. Let's go to Chris calling in from Bayonne. Chris, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
What's up, Chris?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing well.
Hey, I got, I'll give you my number 9, and then if we could talk about a couple of other positions, okay?
Yeah, sure.
I'm a Kevin White guy, all right? I think we're going to go offensive line in the free agency, Jar and Anita. I love the tandem of Beckham and White and Randall and Cruz, okay? You know, John, I'm a speed guy, and that's what I want on the offense.
Yeah, but Chris, here's the problem. Chris, here's the problem. If you pick, okay, you're going to go free agency, you're going to get the offensive lineman, right? You're going to pick the wide receiver in the first round. Where are you getting the defense better? How are you improving the defense?
Well, my second round, I'm going defensive line, okay? I like Dupree, and I like Wright or Shelton if they come my way.
Dupree and Shelton are going to be nowhere near on the board when the Giants pick in the second round. They're both mid-first-round picks.
Beasley or Armstead.
Beasley's and Armstead's not going to be there in round two either. Those guys are all top 20 picks, my friend.
You think so?
Oh, yeah, no question about it.
Then I go Phillips or Dolman or Davis. I go defensive line.
Okay. I think there's a chance Carl Davis could be there in the second round.
Or I go Hunter or Trail on the other side.
All right, Trail's a little raw, but yeah, I think those are much more realistic picks in the second round. Chris, I think that's fair, but to me, it's hard, and this is the point I made earlier in the show. You already invested a first-round pick in Odell Beckham. You invested a second pick in Reuben Randle. You gave a $50 million contract to Victor Cruz. To put another valuable asset in a first-round pick into the same position again, you only have so many assets to go around. And I think you're putting too many eggs in one basket in terms of position in that regard.
I need a Scherf, okay? I don't think Scherf's going to be there.
No, he might not be.
I don't even think he's going to be there. And then Pete's my second guy, okay? And you know what? I'd rather take a Kevin White over Pete.
If I had to pick between Andrus White Andrus Pete or Kevin White, I think Kevin White's the better player than Andrus Pete too,
okay.
I think you'll be able to find a good defensive player at number 9 that can help this team right away up front.
One or two more little things.
Yeah, sure.
I love talking football like this. This is great. and the running backs, okay? You said that a few of the running backs didn't have some great combines. John, I don't know if I put all my eggs in one basket when it comes to running backs. I get the 40 time, like you said. But, you know, these guys have played – 24, maybe 30-somewhat games in their career?
Yeah.
There's a lot of good film out there, right, John?
No, Chris, I agree. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. I like Duke Johnson. I do like the kid Johnson. David Johnson, the other Johnson. McGee maybe in the fourth round. But I am a curly guy myself. I am a curly guy. I don't mean girly, but curly.
I was going to say.
I got you. I knew where you were going.
In any other environment, no one would ever say, I'm a girly guy.
And my last one is in the safety area. You know I like Landon Collins from the get-go, but he's not going to be there. How's this kid Tart and the kid Smith from Fresno? And I'll take my your comments off to you. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for the phone call.
By the way, mobile app is back up, by the way.
Oh, fantastic. Excellent. Great job. You know, we really haven't spent a lot of time talking about the safety position. I mean, question marks in regard to if Stevie Brown will even be back. And again, we touched on it just briefly a second ago, and that is Antrell Roll. You've got Will Hill in Baltimore who's going on social media begging for Antrell Roll to come to Baltimore.
I didn't see that. Did he really?
Oh, yeah. So you just, I mean, you're no Stevie Brown, no Antrell Roll. I mean, you know, that's a position that you talk about need.
Well, here's the thing with Antrell Roll, and I really think it's fascinating. I think it's going to be a great case study this year because I think you have a couple forces working against each other. I think, number one, I think Roll is probably more valuable to the Giants because they understand his leadership more than any other team because he's been in the building.
Right.
So I think that's number one. Number two, the safety market, especially if the Patriots do in fact franchise Devin McCourty, is really not particularly strong. So he's one of the top safeties on the market. So that makes him more valuable to other teams and to everybody. But he's over 30. How often do you see players over 30 get big money in free agency these days? You don't see it happen very often. So I think you have all those things working against each other, and I think it'll be fascinating to see what his market value is and where the Giants are. What's the Giants' number with Roll? what do they think his value is? What are they willing to offer him based on their salary cap situation and what his production was on the field last year? And look, Roll admitted it after the season. He did not have his best year last year. He struggled a little bit. Now, I think that had a lot to do with the pieces around them, and he's trying to make up for other deficiencies, and I agree with that. But I think it's going to be a really interesting case study on Roll's value this year.
You know, a few things here. Number one, this is I believe that Roll wants to play maybe two more years.
What is he, 31 or 32, Roll?
I don't.
I'll check it.
I don't know. But based on what I think is developing with him is he wants to play about two more years. So this more than likely is going to be his last contract, his last deal.
He's 32. And don't get me wrong. He turned 32 in December.
And don't get me wrong. I mean, he's made great money, and he's got really phenomenal parents and a phenomenal supporting cast. And so I'm sure he's been very wise with his spending.
And he's also, by the way, very lucky that he, for the most part, has stayed healthy in his NFL career.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And we touched on this when we did the show in Indy. And I truly believe this. You have to put a value amount on playing for an organization that you're comfortable with, you enjoy, you like, they like you, and each and every – as competitive as I am. Listen, Rolls from the U, I know how competitive he is, that each and every year they're in it to win it, that they are putting their best foot forward. And I get it. The Giants haven't been to the postseason in a few years. But, you know, I guess where I'm going with this is that I don't see Roll taking more money to go to a team like Cleveland or Jacksonville or, you know, I do believe that he's going to put, and I don't know anything, but I do believe that he will put a value amount on what it means to be a Giant and also to retire a Giant.
I agree with that, and I think Justin Tuck last year took the same stance, but I think it ended up the extra year and the extra money ended up having more value to him than the type of stuff you're talking about.
I think he regrets it.
You might be right. I don't think he'd admit it publicly, but I bet you deep down he's like, you know what, I probably should have stayed. I'm not sure you're wrong about that.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a few things that I think are going to come into play there. I wouldn't be surprised if a team does offer him more money than maybe the Giants do, but he stays in New York because he knows that there is a value amount in staying in New York, playing in the system, especially with Spags being back, the leadership that he has in that locker room, playing for this organization, at the end of the day, retiring a Giant.
Remember, Roll has not played for Spagnuolo before, so I wonder what – I'm sure he's doing a lot of work on what type of defense he runs. And I think, especially with Spags, Roll is even more valuable because Spagnuolo likes having that veteran safety out there to kind of arrange things and lead things and organize the secondary, and I think he can do a real good job of that.
201-939-4513 is the phone number you want to get in. It is Big Blue Kickoff Live, coming to you live from the Giants facility here on a Tuesday afternoon. Let's head out to our phone lines. Line one, Mike is calling in from Brooklyn. He wants to talk about Odell Beckham Jr.
Mikey.
Yes, I listen to your show often, and quite frankly, I wanted to say something about Odell Beckham, but I wanted to go with something else first. Every time I put on your show, I look forward to it like I look forward to going to the dentist.
So then why do you put it on? Wait, hold on. No, Mike, I think you need to review yourself psychologically here. If you hate putting on the show, why do you put it on?
Because I want to know what's going on with the Giants when really – all I have to do is just watch TV because you're wrong constantly.
Why? How am I wrong, Mike?
Who's doing what? I mean, I get more information from the fan than I get from you guys.
So then put on the fan.
Not to mention your producer doesn't know what the hell's going on with the volume. I mean, usually it's got your volume way up. Her volume sounds like she's...
Mike, are you done? Mike, are you done? Mike, are you done?
The microphone's in her shoe.
Mike, are you done? Bye-bye.
Again, 201.
Hey, you know what, though?
939-4513.
You can make a great living having people that don't like you listen to your show.
People
like Howard Stern and Mike Francesa have made bajillions of dollars doing that, so that's cool.
I don't quite understand. if you feel like listening to this is like going to the dentist, why? I avoid the dentist. I like the cleaning. I enjoy the cleaning with the bubblegum toothpaste and the brush, but anyway. Some other topics in regard to, let's talk about JPP for a second. And I guess what, March 2nd, right, is D-Day in regard to whether or not he'll be tagged or not?
Yes.
Right, March 2nd?
I believe it is. Actually, I thought it was this Friday, the deadline for franchise tag. Is next week? It is March 2nd. You're
March
right.
2nd.
Sorry about that.
Defensive lineman, $15 million. That's pretty much what the tag number is. And my opinion in all of this is that I'd like to see them tag JPP, and I'm going to throw out a few reasons for you, okay? 12.5 sacks last year, 42 total, 16.5 in 2011. I'd like to see another season of double-digit sacks and JPP staying healthy before the Giants commit to him long-term. Agree or disagree with me?
I think it depends on the number. I mean, I think there are red flags, and I think Jerry Reese, you know, spoke about the red flags in his postseason press conference. He talked about how, you know, he had great production the final few games of the year, final five, six, seven games, but where was that production in the first 8, 9, 10 games? And I think those are fair questions. I mean, I know he battled through injuries in those years, but where was his production in, you know, 2012 and 2013, where in those years combined he didn't get the double-digit sack? So I do think there are some red flags. Can he stay healthy like he was the second half of this year after battling injuries for so many seasons? I think those are all very, very, very fair questions to ask. And, again, I think it depends on the number. And if you can get him at a good number that the Giants are comfortable with, I think you do it. But I do think you have to weigh that against the amount of salary cap space he's going to take up on the franchise tag as well. I mean, you talked about the numbers that, you know, these aren't official by any means, but in the terms of the cap space the Giants might have this year. For JPP to take up nearly three-quarters of that, which is what he'd be close to doing under that franchise tag, is a lot of your flexibility. So I wouldn't mind having him under the tag for a year. I think it's something that I'd live with, but I do worry about the size of that franchise tag. I mean, talk about the Cowboys. Like, they're going to franchise Dez Bryant. That's $2 million less dollars than JPP would be franchised, just based on the, you know, the way the top average five positions at those two different positions match up. So I just think it's a lot of money for 1 year, but I do think that's better than overpaying for 7 or 8 years. I think that's
right.
Better.
So that's my question, and I'll throw it out there to Giants fans, 201-939-4513. Would you rather have the Giants organization agree to a long-term deal with JPP, or would you rather have him tag him this year and see how this year plays out? I guess where I'm going with this is I guess I want to see more consistency from JPP before the Giants invest in that long-term relationship.
That's, I think that's fair.
Again, that's just my opinion, but I'm curious. Let's hear from Giants fans. 201-939-4513. I want to see double-digit sacks again. I want to see a season of staying healthy, and then after that, then you know, bring the Brinks trucks in.
And I think it's funny. I think we're the Brinks trucks. I like that. I think you're going to see the franchise tag used a lot this year too. And we were talking to Jason Lock on 4 about that last Friday on the show from the Combine, and you know, you're going to see Devin McCourty, the safety for the Patriots, get franchised. You're going to see Justin Houston, the linebacker from Kansas City, get franchised. You're going to probably see JPP get franchised. You're going to see Dez Bryant get franchised. So, you know, the tag is there so teams don't lose the great players that they drafted, and I think it works. And I think the goal eventually needed is to get it set up where that franchise tag for 1 year ends up precipitating the longer-term contract. So I think that's the goal with the Giants, and they'll see if they can accomplish that.
Just to kind of go down really quick, we're going to continue with the calls. I know they're coming in, 201-939-4513. In regard to the NFC East, some of the big storylines, JPP, the biggest storyline right now, I think, for the Giants, media-wise. The Dallas Cowboys, Dez Bryant, tagging him. Also, reports out there that Adrian Peterson might end up a Dallas Cowboy, which would be absolutely ridiculous, him running behind that offensive line.
But here's the thing. How are they going to pay Adrian Peterson if they can't pay DeMarco Murray? Are their contracts going to be that much different? I never understood the Adrian Peterson to Dallas thing. I really didn't. That's weird to me.
I don't know, but it's still out there.
No, it is out there. No question.
The big storyline with the Eagles is how enamored Chip Kelly was with Marcus Mariota during the quarterback combine performance.
And when you had him in Oregon, obviously.
And now, and now with the power that that Chip Kelly has within that Eagles organization and wheeling and dealing and making moves, some idea that the Eagles will kind of sell their soul and move all the way from 20 above 6 to try to get Marcus Mariota.
I don't know how they're going to do that, by the way.
And last but not least, they're going to have to wheel and deal.
That's a lot of picks they're going to have to send in that trade.
Yes, it is. And last but not least, with Washington, Jay Gruden, head coach, came out and said that it's RG3's job to lose at the quarterback position for Washington heading into 2015. So just to share with you some storylines in and around the NFC East. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Joe calling in from Pennsylvania. Joe, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hi, great show. You know what I mean? I don't like going to dentists, but I love your show.
I appreciate that, Joe. Thank you.
I want to say, John, you were just at the combine there, and I know two quarterbacks are going to go first. Can you name, like, definitely you would put in value, like, the next six guys? I know there's a cornerback that went way up the line now. Would he be there, go definitely before the Giants pick?
Collins, he's talking about Collins.
Well, Sheldon and I'm just saying, could you name these guys that you think definitely in value that they are, that they're going to go before the Giants pick?
Well, I mean, I can make guesses. I can't tell you definitely who's going to be off the board. If I had to guess, and I'll have to write this down. Let me see here.
Schmelk's mock draft 2.0.
I was just curious. On that, you know what I mean? Like, and then, like, you were talking about the wide receiver, you know, is he better than that top lineman in value? You know what I mean? To look at that. So, whatever. And, like, with JPP, like I say, I do think we franchise him, but we wait and see here what we can do in free agency, if we can get somebody or not. Because I think, to me, JPP has proven – He's a tough guy. He's always getting double teamed, and he's great against the run. I think he's proven it. You know what I mean? You ain't going to get anybody much better, I don't think. So that's all. And one other question. How is Sue, I hear him, he might be get franchised. How is he going to get, like, 20-some million or something like that?
Yeah, Joe, the way that worked, Joe, and thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it, and I'll get to your other questions in a second. Sue had, I believe, some type of stipulation in his original contract where if he got franchised, it would be for X more than what the actual franchise value is. That's why if Sue gets franchised, it's going to be for, you know, I think it's $28 million or something like that. So that's obviously a mechanism that he purposely got in his deal so that he couldn't get franchised, so he would hit the open market, and that's why Sue's not going to get franchised. Here to me, Anita, very quickly, and I reserve the right to change this, but they threw it together in about 3 minutes. The guys that I think will go,
This is your mock draft.
I'm not even doing order. These are the first eight guys to me that will probably go off the board.
Okay.
I got the two quarterbacks, Winston and Mariota.
Okay, well, time out. Let's have some fun with this.
Oh,
so,
you're going to put me on the spot, aren't you?
No. I'm going to pick your brain a little bit.
Okay, what do you got?
Okay, so
I think Winston to Tampa.
Everything we heard was that the Tampa Bay Bucks are going to go with Jameis Winston at one. Tennessee, now they have Zach Mettenberger. A number of the of coaches and scouts that I spoke to said that Zach Mettenberger is one of the hardest working quarterbacks in the NFL. He's there super early. He's there very late. I know he came out with a little swagger this week and said,
"Oh, but is he good enough?" And I don't know.
I know. I understand. I'm just but you know, you got to put a value on work ethic.
No, and
you know what? And I don't mind his swagger. I don't mind him coming out and saying, "Oh, have Tennessee draft one of these two quarterbacks. I'll outperform them." I don't mind that. I like that. I want my quarterback to have that kind of swagger. So I think it's going to be interesting. I think Tennessee trades their draft pick. I think Tennessee trades it.
You know what? That wouldn't shock me. Either way, I think Mariota will either be to Tennessee or to the Jets. So I think he'll be gone in the top eight picks.
Okay.
I think Leonard Williams, the top defender off the board, will be gone.
Where do you think he goes to?
I think he'll go two or three.
Okay.
Depending on where it goes. I think either Cooper or White, one or the other,
goes
maybe
to
both,
Oakland.
Will go to Oakland. I think Scherf will go to Washington, if I had to bet. I think they're going to go with an offensive lineman.
Well, if they're going to go with RG3, definitely needs
right.
more protection.
And I think this is an interesting one. Where do the Jets go if the quarterback's not there? We know cornerback is a real big need, and the quarter mentioned Trey Peters, the cornerback out of Michigan. See, not Trey Peters, Trey Waynes.
Trey Waynes.
Out of Michigan State, who was the top corner, and then he ran a ridiculous combine.
4.31.
Yeah, he was really fast. And actually, people were worried about his speed, and he ended up proving people really wrong. So I think he could be an option for the Jets when they pick at 6 if the quarterback isn't there. They could also go pass rusher if they like a guy like Shane Ray, Gregory out of Nebraska. Those are two options, too, and I think Fowler's going to go off the board. So my 8 guys off the board for the Giants pick right now: Winston, Mariota, Williams, Cooper, Fowler, Ray, Gregory, and Scherf, which makes my 2 home run picks gone.
Gone.
And I think you have to consider Shelton, the big defensive tackle.
How often? How often are you? How often? Because I'm sure you do this each and every year. And I know that you and Paul Dottino host during the draft.
Yeah.
How often are you right? How often are you right with your top 10?
Oh boy, not very.
No?
mean, all 10? I mean, usually, I mean, it's hard to get all 10. If you get 7. Out of the top 10, I think you're doing pretty well the way this draft goes. I mean, it's just impossible to predict. And it's so early, too. I mean, you could, you know, say what you want now. Things could change at pro days. And, you know, if the valuations change, study happens, things can change in the next couple months.
I know that we started late because of some technical issues. Can we go over for...
Neil, you want to squeeze in this one last call? Let's squeeze in one more call, then we'll say goodbye.
All right, great. Let's go to Delaware. Ivan is joining us here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Welcome.
What's up, Ivan?
Thank you for taking my call. How you doing, guys?
Doing well, Ivan. How are you?
Real quick, you know, some things, you know, people complicate. It's real easy. JPP has got to come back to the Giants. That defensive line, as bad a shape as it was last year, will be 10 times worse without JPP on that line. And with that, with the draft pick, I don't think he'll be on the board. The Bears are going to go to a 3-4 this year, so it's ideal they will take Shelton. But if Shelton's on the board, to me, that's the guy. I mean, you talk about stopping the run, he's going to end the run, you know. And then you put a guy like that next to Hankins and then JPP, and he'll elevate them as well. This guy, you know, his personality, everything about him, you know, his play on the field, you know, he's a franchise-level player. I think he's a franchise-altering type player. It appears, you know, he just has a natural love for the game. I see a lot of his personality, what I saw from Beckham, you know, that just charismatic, you know, vibe to him from, you know, from just seeing on the outside and on TV. And, you know, obviously if one of those top wide receivers were to fall, you know, I can see the Giants going that way too. But I don't see it in a means of replacing Cruz because they don't do what Cruz does. This is a different type of receivers. I see them more as, you know, being on the outside opposite Beckham. If Randle doesn't step up, then Randle, you know, be on the clock, you know, next year. So I look at it as not replacing Cruz if you take one of those guys. You're taking one of those guys because you're going to add a big-time franchise-level wide receiver. You know, not so much you're replacing Cruz, if that makes any sense. So
it does, but then theoretically you got Cruz and then 2 more franchise-level wide receiver, and I'm not sure you're going to be able to carry 3 franchise-level wide receivers for a long period of time. I mean, at that point, you're almost getting diminishing returns if you're trying to force targets to 3 different guys at the same spot. You know what I mean? You still with us?
I see what you're saying, but I just don't – I firmly believe that, you know, if you have a Cooper or a White – you know, you're not utilizing them the same way you utilize Cruz. I understand what you're saying as far as, you know, franchise level quarterbacks. Now, granted, Cruz's contract, you know, he's being paid as a top receiver, but you know that's called the good problem. You know, you let that unfold, and if Cruz is not able to come back 100%, then of course after next year, the Giants might approach him, you know, with his contract. And if you know he's not willing, hey, you know, it's a business. Maybe he's not here if he's not the same guy anymore. You know, and you just move on. But you don't not take a franchise-level quarterback. You don't leave an A.J. Green or Julio Jones-type wide receiver on the board because, you know, you also have Cruz, you know, on the roster. You know, you do that because that's who, you know, the caliber of receiver that they are. And that's just how I view it. You know, you don't leave talent like that on the board.
No, look, and I think that's fair. I think that's
why
Jerry
Reese,
and thanks for the call. Appreciate it. That's why Jerry Reese takes the best talent available type of situation, so you don't leave that great player on the board. But the question is, what if you have an equally great player at wide receiver and an equally great player on the offensive or defensive line? Then what do you do? That's the trick.
Really quick, before we do close out the show,
sure.
One position we have not touched on today, and that is tight end. Funchess, who played tight end / wide receiver at Michigan, ran a 4.7 40, which a lot of scouts feel that is tight end type 40 numbers.
Well, certainly not wide receiver.
Not wide receiver, but I guess the question mark with him is, you know, is his physicality. You know, you want to find that tight end that's able to go out and run great routes and have great hands. But at the same time, when asked and needed to stay home to block for pass protection or to run the football, can do it. I know those are, you know, a needle in a haystack, but that's what you're looking for.
Well, yeah. I mean, you want a two-way tight end. You already kind of have a guy like that, like Larry Donnell, who can go out and catch the ball and be that guy down the field. But you know, he's still learning how to block.
I think the Giants want to improve that position.
No, I agree.
And not a knock on Larry Donnell. He started off real strong. But
I think you're right. I think they want that two-way player like you're talking about, the guy that can catch and block. And to me, there's really only one guy in the draft that can do that, and that's Max Williams out of Minnesota. There's a chance he'll be there in the second round. He didn't run a great 40. He ran something about 4.8, which is not fantastic. It's okay for a tight end, but he has blocked on the line in Minnesota, and he comes from a pro-style offense. So I think that's the type of guy you would want to look at tight end to try to get better there.
Fantastic. Hey, it's been a fun hour with you.
A lot of fun.
Thank you so much for tuning in. You're listening to Big Blue Kickoff Live. I'm assuming you're back tomorrow with?
Tomorrow's either Lance or Dettino. I'm not sure I'm one of those two guys.
Okay. All right. So make sure you tune in tomorrow, same time, high noon, right here on Giants.com and leading all the way up into the NFL draft, which is going to be taking place late April
in
Chicago.
Free agency in March.
Free agency in March. And then, of course, that's right. And then the draft in April. We'll have all your Giants news and Giants information right here on Giants.com.
I promise you, by the way, I can show you the text. Dettino texted me in the middle of one of those cold days last week. I wish it was July and training camp started tomorrow. He wants to skip training camp. He wants to skip the draft. He wants to skip free agency.
I don't doubt it.
He wants to go right to training camp.
I don't doubt it. Although I love it. I'm excited for free agency. I'm excited for the draft. I enjoy this
Me
time
too.
Of year.
I'm
so
with
we'll,
you.
We'll see what happens. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you.
Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Down to the field. He's got through. 35, 30.